Welcome. You have tuned in to WWGH 107.1 FM radio. And the program you're listening to is called A Voice of a People with Linda Sims, live here today. Also, we stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You can download free app called TuneIn on any electronic device, cell phones, iPhones, laptops, and computers, and search WWGH. And that way you can download the other programs that we have to offer you. And believe me, we have a lot of talk radio. And our crew interviews have some amazing interviews. So please listen in on your app called TuneIn. Also, you can call 740-383-9944 during this hour for questions or comments in reference to our conversation. Today we have Barb Burney, poet, and she's been on before, and we will be getting with her in just a moment. So if you like poetry and you want to know how she got started in that, please call and ask her any questions that you may have. Let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Chappie's Hydraulics, Hose Specialist, LLC, 1325 North Main Street, here in Marion, Ohio. Telephone number is 740-382-8552. Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio, 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. Inspect Ohio, LLC, your one-call home inspection company with 25 years of experience working for you, out of LaRue, Ohio. Telephone number 740-262-0939. Let me go back to Logos Christian Ministries. They have an ongoing announcement, free produce market every second Saturday of every month from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. Place, Logos Christian Ministries, address 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio, 43302. No appointment or pre-registration or paperwork required. You need simply to sign in your name and number of people in your family. So I think that was last, let me look at my calendar, the 13th. So if you missed it, now you have to wait until November. So if you run across anyone that you know that has a need for fresh produce, please share that announcement with them. Now I have a thought for you today, and I looked up this thought from my desk, of course, the desk of Linda. But I think I needed it more than you, who I'm giving it to. But it goes like this. Peace ends when you are emotionally involved in a situation. The practice of being an independent observer helps you stay calm if you can remain independent. It's the best way to approach a decision in any circumstance. And I hope that you can use that. And I think I will be reading that all week for myself. Okay. So I just wanted to share that thought for you today. And I need to also alert you to early voting information in Marion County, which started October the 10th through October the 26th, a couple more days, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., October the 27th, Saturday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., October the 29th through November the 2nd, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 7 p.m., November 3rd, Saturday, 8 a.m. through 4 p.m. November 4th, Sunday at 1 to 5 p.m. November 5th, Monday, 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. The location is Marion County Board of Elections, 222 West Center Street, Marion, Ohio, 43302. Now, that's early voting, and everyone knows that November the 6th is the day that everyone votes all across the country. So those are early voting information. So if you early vote or you know someone who likes to early vote, hopefully you are able to write down some of those times. Or you can call the Board of Elections downtown Marion, Ohio. I was thinking they gave us a telephone number, but I don't see it. Nope, I don't see it. Okay, now let me get to my guest, Barb Burney. How you doing today?
I'm great. I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing great. Yeah. Doing good.
Your thought for the day is very interesting, and I ran across one that I had written some time ago. Well, several years ago, but I think it goes well with yours.
Does it?
So it says, the more I realize what is not my business, the more time I spend minding my own business.
Yeah.
And we, you know, I say we, but I should say I, you know, sometimes I get so involved in things that I don't need to be involved in. And, you know, people will pull you into things.
That's true. That's true.
And we just have to be careful to know which is which, they used to say, you know, because you can really get so involved and lose your peace. Lose your peace over something that you cannot even control.
Right.
But, yeah.
And I thought it was interesting because it really hit home to me today. And, because I know we as women are emotional creatures.
Right.
And our emotions rule us. And it's like, okay, I've had enough. I can't take any more. Right. Because it comes to a point where there are things that you cannot control.
Right.
You know, because you can't control other people. And you have to accept people for who they are if you're going to go anywhere with them, right?
That's exactly right. And, you know, I think that's not a call not to be involved. I mean, we can be involved with their outcome.
Right.
You know, how's it going, you know, and lend a listening ear. But when we take that internally, you know, it does disturb our peace. I think that's right on cue, because we do that so often.
Right. And I need my peace.
We do need our peace.
Yeah, I need my peace. I mean, otherwise, I'm a wreck. I'm a mess.
Sure.
I can't concentrate. I can't think about things I need to be, you know, thinking about. And my mind is here. My mind is there. But I need my peace, you know. So it was a very profound statement today.
It is. Well, it falls under, you know, the category distraction.
Yes.
And the enemy of our soul is the great distractor. You know, if he can get our... Well, I didn't read the other half of this, but I guess it's befitting. The more time I spend minding my own business, such as reading and studying God's word and prayer, too many times we expect others to be what we ourselves are not.
True.
So,
there's
really a lot to think about, and that's why we don't have time to over-involve in situations that we can't do anything about.
Like, I think that's 1 Thessalonians 4. Mind your own business and work with your own hands and give to those that need.
Yes. That's a very good one. Very, very good place there. Yep.
Okay. So, Barb, how you been? And let's get started. I'm sure a lot of our listeners may have heard you here, listened to you before, your poetry. And you also performed at the open mic
open
night,
mic.
And that was in September, right?
Yes.
At the Palace Theater Pavilion. How was that for you?
Oh, that was fun. That was one of the highlights of my later years.
Okay.
it was very fulfilling to me. Even though I had to stop and say, I can't see this paper, and they brought me a light, and, you know, this special needs kiddo here.
Well, that added to the hilarity of it. I mean, it just really framed it,
you know. I guess it did.
Brought in laughter and things like that.
It was fun. It was great fun for me. And I think the fulfilling part of it was that This that I do is not a skill. It is not a skill. It's not a learned skill. It's a talent. that, you know, it's something God himself gave me.
Right.
It's
right.
From him. Just like when I play the piano, I've had so many people say, oh, teach me, teach me. And I say, you know, you can't teach something you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Because I play, you know, just strictly through inspiration. It's just,
wow.
It's just him. And that's what I have to say about my writing. It's just him. It is him. And I have written many things and filed it away. And I would run across it, or somebody else would, I would have given it away and run across it and start reading that. I thought, man, that sounds familiar. But and I get to know, and my name's at the bottom. But when you write through inspiration, it's not like something you conjured up in your head.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes there's recollection. I can't say that word. I can recollect it.
Right.
I can call it back just right on sight. But there's other times that I thought, whoa, did I do that?
Right.
You know, and that is just absolutely the truth. I know people are curious, how do you learn to write poetry? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it's a gift. It truly is a gift.
What inspired you to write your first one, your very first poem?
Mr. Slauson, my seventh grade English teacher.
Okay.
He told us to sit down and get a piece of paper and just start writing thoughts. He said, do not write sentences. Do not write a complete sentence. And he was trying to get us to record our brainwaves is what he was doing, you know, mm-hmm. just, oh, I got to get milk today. Of course, as a seventh grader, it was probably, you know, I wonder, you know, who I'm going to walk home with. And then, oh, Mom will probably make me sweep the floor. And, oh, my bedroom's dirty and I know it. you know, all those things.
Thoughts.
If you stop and think, your mind goes so fast that your mouth can't. I mean, I've met some really mouthy people, but nobody's mouth we can't put it out like it's being put in.
Right, right.
We can't do it. And it was a great lesson for me, you know, to try to write. And I have this natural thing to expound, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was hard to just stop at, oh, that wall's green, you know. Oh, the window's open, you know.
Right, right.
And it was a difficult exercise to do.
Wow.
But it was very profitable.
Right.
And then he told us to, I don't know if we had to pick out something. It was probably in the fall of the year, and I probably looked out and saw the beautiful leaves, probably saw something like that. And then he said, now write about your favorite season. I don't know how. You know, I'm not mm-hmm. going to tell you how long ago it's been. I was in the seventh grade.
That's been a while.
I went to Taft, if that says anything.
Oh, yeah.
But I wrote about autumn. That was my very first poem.
Okay.
Was about autumn. And
same time of year.
Yeah.
As it is now.
And it's still my favorite time of year. So, and I haven't written a poem about autumn for years. Maybe I'll do that.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe I'll do that. But the hundreds of poems have gotten away from me. I've moved so many times, so many changes in my life have taken place, you know, and through it all, very little has remained. I mean, even my paintings, mm-hmm. My paintings, I would paint a picture and, that. And I would give it away. But I had pictures of them, and that's even gotten away from me. But things get away.
Yes,
but,
they know, do over
they,
the
they
years.
They do get away. But I said all that to say this. My poetry is very thick in my family, and I didn't even know this.
Oh.
I write songs, and there's a lot of songwriters. There's songwriters in my family, singers in my family. But these are family members I do not know. And I found a lot of them on Facebook. So I was that told me a little bit about, you know, why I write. And, you know, why these things? Because it's, I guess, in my blood, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Not only in my spirit, but it's
a part of you.
A part of me.
Yes.
Now, I went to a Christian Bible school in the 11th grade. And it was in the mountains of Kentucky. And my mother and I lived alone, so I was leaving her all alone, which was hard for me to do.
Right.
And she wrote this poem about me. And she said down here at the bottom, this is the one she sent me. So, and she's been in heaven now for 4 years, so this is very, very dear to me. But she says it's the second poem I ever wrote. So it says, my little girl has left her nest to go to Bible school. She's on a holy quest to learn God's golden rule. We all do miss her so and miss her smiling face, but it still is worth it all to know she'll grow in God's dear grace. In the valleys, God will smile, so she never should despair. As she climbs 100 miles, she's in God's loving care. So seek to do your best, my dear. God will your heart's desire fulfill, so never, never have a fear as you walk on in his sweet will. She wrote that at 11:30 p.m., 9/6/71.
It's a long time ago.
And it was so hard for me to read. But, yeah, that's, I have to attribute, you know. Now, her mother, my grandmother, also wrote poetry, but I don't have any of that. Mm-hmm. We lived in northern Michigan, and they lived in Marion, Ohio.
Okay.
So, then my sister wrote books and wrote poetry, lots and lots of poetry. And I stayed with her for a while after I graduated. And she published this little book for me. It's a book of my poems. And in the back, on the very back page, she surprised me with a poem that she wrote. So I want to read that. And this Saturday, if she were living, she would be 73 years old. So this is just kind of a tribute to my sister. And I have two poems that she wrote.
Okay.
So this one was for me. It's called Little Sis. I have a little sis. She is like no other. She makes me proud, just like she does her mother. She loves Jesus, and so do I. We laugh, and we sing, and pray, and cry. I'm sure you have met her somewhere in time. There are many just like her, serving Jesus, so divine. Her smile is without flaw. Her eyes radiate God's love. Her heart is full to overflowing of God's abundant love. That's my little sis. I hope you have one too, because they are special people that God has given to me and you.
That's sweet. Very sweet. That's, from sister to sister.
Yep. Yeah,
that's very sweet.
Yeah,
very
sweet. I could do no wrong with her, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't have anybody left that feels that way.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure of that. And here's one more that I found in my papers that she had written. She wrote this in 7 a.m., December 31st, 1996, is when she wrote this poem. It's called Prayer. What a befitting time. Says, prayer is a valuable asset in my life plan. It makes life more livable, you understand. Prayer is a blessing I command every day. It fills my heart, so I must remember to pray. Prayer is a privilege I received when I chose to use each day to open and to close. Prayer is a challenge. It's optional, that's true, but required as a Christian if I want to receive just due.
Mm-hmm.
Prayer is a release from the daily bonds of life. It pricks my heart and makes me a better husband or wife. Prayer is a silent testimony that the world may never hear, but it shows in our lives for Jesus we hold dear. Prayer is a hotline to heaven that is needed all day. So take the time for Jesus' sake and remember to pray.
Take time. Now, that's a big word.
It is. It is.
The meaning that goes with take time is it would fill up this whole city, Marion, Ohio. Take time. How do I take time? When do I take time? Should I do it in the morning? And you set time to get up to do certain things in the morning, like devotion or watch a Christian program or whatever, and something else happens.
Yep.
Like my daughter calls me at 5:30 this morning, like, what? Which threw my whole day off, you know?
Yeah, of course. But I want to interject something here.
Go ahead.
Something my mother told me a long, long time ago. You will never miss the time that you spend with Him, with God. And that has resonated in my life. There's been times that, man, I haven't prayed yet this morning. I've got to stop and pray. And I thought, well, I've got to do this too. And I can still hear my mom say, you'll never miss the time you give Him. He will
get it when He wants it.
He'll make the time spread. He really will.
Yeah.
I don't know how He does it.
Right.
But it's just like tithing. She taught me this too. She said, you pay your tithe first, and you'll never miss it. And she told me a story, a true story about herself. She worked, and she had $2 to finish out the week with, and she knew that we would, you know, before the day was up, or the week was up, we would need more milk and bread. And she had that $2. Well, this was a long time ago. It would have bought milk and bread. And she was in church. And they were getting ready to take up an offering, and she heard the Lord say, put your $2 in. And she's like, Lord.
That's all I have, right?
That's all I have. And, you know, here's where Jesse would Duplantis would say, well, that's all I'm asking for.
Yeah.
But, you know, he just, you know, said, give your $2. Mm. And she was obedient. She gave that $2, and she said, Barbie, she said, you know what? She said at the end of the week, she says, I forgot that I had even done it. I didn't need it. Don't know why we didn't need it, but we didn't need it. And I guess that's why He says obedience is better than sacrifice.
Yeah.
Because when you're obedient, he doesn't just sit up there and say, see, I made her do it, but, you know, she's going to do it without this or do it without. That's just not the way it works.
Yeah, and everybody believes differently about tithing, and, you know, it's under the law, it's not in the New Testament. You just hear all kind of stories about tithing. Yeah. So
you hear that, but it is in the New Testament.
Yeah, they talk about giving. Yes, definitely.
Yep.
Yeah, so I don't know. I guess there's a great controversy about different things in the Bible.
Yeah.
So, but I feel like this too. If you feel that the Lord is saying to you, do that, then you do that.
Oh, yeah.
You do that, you know.
I mean, I've had Him tell me to give things that I had no intention of giving.
Right.
And, you know, I just thank God so much for my mother and the things that she taught me, you know, because, I mean, my goodness, it was years ago. And it was just,
And it sticks with you,
doesn't
it?
When I needed it, it's as fresh as right. Mouthwash.
Yeah.
It's just there.
I agree with you on that.
And it's just a wonderful thing to me that God has blessed me with.
I still hear my mother talking. Certain things, you know, she would say, different circumstances. And they live on.
Yes, they do.
People live on, you know.
Now, am I right to assume that this is Pastor Appreciation Month?
I heard that, yes.
Yeah. It's Pastor Appreciation Month, the whole month of October, which it's almost gone. Yes. But I have two poems for a pastor.
Okay.
All right.
Let's go.
It says, bless my pastor. Lord, bless my pastor in each day. He's faithful, kind, and true. And give him strength along the way as he labors, Lord, for you. He's called to service, no task too great, no one too small to see. His heart is set on heaven's gate. As his flock he gently leads. You sent him to us for this time. You knew I needed most. And it overwhelms me in this heart of mine, renewing my faith and love and hope. So bless my pastor again today. He's faithful, kind, and true. And give him strength along the way as he labors, Lord, for you. Pastors, it's a hard job. I've been very close to some pastors, and as a child, I was very, very close to pastor and his wife, and the church that I was in starved them out, stopped paying their tithe, didn't pay him, and he was truly a man of God, just a wonderful, wonderful man of God, but sometimes, you know, people can want their own way, and I wouldn't want to be one that mess with God's servant. Bible says, touch not mine anointed.
Right. And do my prophets no harm.
So I would not want to be in shoes like that. I have one more for a pastor.
And they say it's like so many are falling out of office. Yes. Suicide. Just giving up and going to work.
And, you know,
it's hard nowadays for a pastor. Yes,
it is hard. But, and sometimes as a flock, we can be very uncaring and very selfish.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't even shake my hand, you know.
Right, things like that.
You know, and, I mean, that's trivial. But is it? You know, a pastor's heart is very tender.
Mm-hmm. Should be.
It should be.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to think that they have to get calloused to be able to put up with us.
Right, because after all, they feed. They feed
yeah.
you. The,
yes.
You know, the bread and the water. So
yes.
That's it right there, the word of yep. God, you know. And they're supposed to be your confidant. And
then I think of another scripture. You know, the Bible says, You did it to these my brethren. You've done it unto me.
Right.
So if you're kicking your pastor in the teeth, you're kicking God in the teeth. You know. So, okay, this is a prayer for pastor. Lord, please take my pastor's hand and lead him gently today. Give him wisdom in this troubled land. Teach him, Lord, to lead the way. He has a flock of sheep, dear Lord. Each one is quite unique. With special needs we cannot afford another's path to seek. So guide him, Lord, with your strong arm and shine your light on him. Protect him now from hurts and harm and keep him pure within. When pain and trials come over him, your stripes send healing his way. In faith he reaches out to you again, receiving your strength from day to day. Pastors do have a rough way to go, a hard way to go.
Yes, because strength to do the work of God, strength to be able to stand in the midst of congregation, strength to be able to usher people in and watch people leave, and you know, and a lot of times they just tear your heart apart, mm-hmm. you know, because everyone's not going to agree.
No.
Even though it may be the word of God, it may come out of Holy Scriptures, you know, but they look at it, that's coming out of a man's mouth, and I don't, you know what I'm saying? I'm not mm-hmm. sure if I believe that or not, and mm-hmm. and the word of God is supposed to be the only truth that there is,
that's right?
But yes. You have people, they're not, they don't buy it, you
right.
know, it's like,
right.
I don't believe that, you know, and it's up to you, it's up to people what they believe and don't believe, but how... There comes a time when God requires things of you and mm-hmm. from you, you know, mm-hmm. and you think you may have skated through this life
mm-hmm.
unhinged
mm-hmm.
or, you know, mm-hmm. but he will require
right.
things of you. And yeah. you'd be like Paul after you knocked him off that horse. Is that you, Lord?
Knocked off my horse a couple times.
No, that's right. Is that you, Lord? You know, he didn't even ask what he said. Speak, Lord, your servant hears, right? He said, he just knew it was.
It's like, okay, you got my attention. I'm
right.
listening.
What power could that be? You know, that just knocked, and blinded him.
Blinded him.
So, you know, and that's what's wrong with the church. It's the people.
Oh, yeah.
It's the people. That's what's wrong with everything. The people. I put it like this. We people. Because we're people,
people
too, right?
We be people too.
Right. Absolutely.
Okay, this is a little more cheery.
Okay.
Let's talk about heaven. I like heaven.
Everybody likes to hear about heaven.
And you know what? When you're younger, I was talking to my son one day. Of course, it was before he got saved, and I was talking about, you know, you want to go to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
He says, Mom, he says, I'm not a bit interested in going to heaven and floating around on a cloud all day. I mean, this boy's a truck driver, but he's also a workaholic. I mean,
right.
he's if he's home, he's doing something. And he just wasn't interested in swinging the chandeliers and floating on clouds. Well, that's not what we're going to be doing. We're going to be doing more then than we are now.
Oh, my.
But That would be a wonderful. I would love to do a study on heaven and what the Bible says, not about the pearly gates and the streets of
gold
and the walls of splendor, but what we will be doing, and it tells us,
In Isaiah has a lot of it in there. Yeah. Zechariah too, I think.
Yeah. Let's just talk about heaven. From childhood, I heard talk about heaven, how people were longing to go. They had all suffered much tribulation. Much sadness was all they had known. There was no appeal for a young man to walk in such a sorrowful way as they. I wanted a life that was more grand, so I turned and went my own way. The path that I chose was so busy, and at first it was beautiful, too. But business soon turned into frenzy. The glamour was fading from view. The life I had chosen was taking me from all that I knew was right, and darkness had me groping and longing for the light. The sorrows of those I had once scorned, so clearly I now could see, but for a season to be born, to prepare for eternity. Their ashes have now turned to beauty, as I lay in my own vain conceit. The oil of gladness, their clothing, they rejoice in the hope of relief. In seeing, my soul was made hungry, my spirit was thirsting for God. In leaving, I went away empty, and returning, my heart was made glad. I came back to find what I needed, was faithful to me day by day, and now my soul's longing for heaven, because somebody remembered to pray. But as a young man, you're not interested. You're not interested in being an old Christian or whatever. It's for old people.
They think.
But when that glitter and that glamour turns to reality,
right?
And they realize, that I left to find what I thought I wanted, but mm-hmm. you have to come back home.
Oh, yeah.
To find what you want.
You're not going anywhere. You may think so.
Yeah.
It was fun out there. I did this and I did that. But you still have to come back.
But you know what? I won't deny that it's not fun out there for a time, but it's also scary.
Yes, it is.
Because God's faithful.
Mm-hmm.
He's faithful, to let you know. So.
Wow. Yeah, I tell you, it's something else. And, if they would understand and realize, God says, you should work for the Lord when you are in your youth.
Yes.
When you're young,
yes,
and full of energy, and you, yes, can run and go and tell and throughout the world and your neighborhood. See, we get old and sluggish, and we're still trying to do the work of young people.
Right.
But those that are strong and in their youth, they should be about that. But like you said, they think they're missing something,
yep,
by not doing it,
yep.
And
one of the most beautiful things for me in our church, mm-hmm, we go to, pastor at different times calls the youth up, like from 35 down, and he will anoint them and pray over them and acknowledge that the job is now theirs.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones in the trenches.
That's true.
They're the ones facing these giants now. We've probably not slaying all the giants that we're going to slay, but they're a little bit shorter than Goliath now, I think. But they're the ones that are facing the Goliaths, and it's up to us.
And they got to know how to fight.
Yeah, and that's what's up to us,
mm-hmm,
is to help, prepare them for battle.
Right, right.
And, and to hold them up and to see that they're anointed and,
right,
and everything. It's a...
And that's why we are in the schools, after school programs, Child Evangelism Fellowship. I'm over at Grant Middle School. You can't hardly get anyone in there.
Really?
Really. Close to 1,000 students there. We've had two at one meeting, our first meeting, one at last week's meeting. And even though there may be Christians there, I'm sure there are, but...
You mean you can't get them to come and help?
Or come to the program at all.
They won't come to the program.
That's the problem.
You mean the kids won't come?
No. And, parents are more like, do you want to go? No, I don't want to go. Well, they don't have to go.
Right.
It's not like when I never had a problem going to church. My mother sent me to church.
Oh, honey.
She didn't make me go. She didn't go herself or my father during that time when I was growing up. They did after they got adult, you know, older up in life. But I enjoyed it going with my auntie and, you know, the little dresses and you know, little pocketbooks to match and the socks. Remember the Bobby socks and the patent leather shoes, you know, and the coat with the little fur, you know, hood. And I just love dressing. I think that's where I got it from. I think my mother raised me like that, you know. And I just never had a problem.
I didn't have a problem going because unless you were throwing up, you had diarrhea, you run a fever, you're bleeding somewhere.
Right, right.
You know, your arm was gushing the blood. You're going to church. It wasn't even a question. Mom, I don't want to go tonight. Huh? I mean, I need a time at you.
Right.
You know? I mean, you went to church. And I'm so thankful for that. And, and I did my kids that way, too.
Right.
And they're thankful for that.
And ours is only an hour program, and it's power-packed. I mean, it's fast. You get in there, you get your snack, and you may read a couple of Bible verses and tell of a story. You hear a missionary story, a real, which is true, a memory verse, and then I bring the word. But, you know, it's powerful. It ministers to me every time I prepare myself to, you know, to give it
Well,
out.
I've always said the teacher learns more than the
student.
Oh,
yes, definitely.
Because, I mean, you have to be prepared for what they might ask. So you've got to dig deeper than what you're going to probably expound on.
You have to bow first.
Right.
That's what it is. You have to bow first. And I don't know if people think that we're just trying to teach their kids something that is not true and don't want them to really be a part of it, but when you look at the days today, they're evil.
Oh, absolutely.
Every imagination of man is evil.
Absolutely.
That's just like it was in the days of Noah.
Yep.
I mean, they think of all this crazy stuff. You know, people have just lost their minds. They think they can just do what they want to whoever they want, you know. And then you have sex.
Oh, yes.
Traffic of these young people. How will they learn to fight if they're not taught to fight?
And, you know, you would think...
Spiritually.
Yeah, you would think knowing about the sex trafficking and
drugs and
all that. Come on, people do know. You'd think that they would want to combat it some way, you know, get their kids in a safety zone.
Right.
Even if they don't want to walk the line, you know, let's get our kids in a safety zone here, you know. Let's...
But then get some wisdom and some knowledge and, you know, some armor on.
Right.
The whole armor of God, you know, because you can't fight without it. And it's not a physical battle.
No.
You're not fighting against
flesh and blood.
You know, these are spirits and principalities and rulers in high places. Yeah. This is what this is about.
Yeah.
And you can only fight that with the word of God. And it's got to be in you.
That's right.
It has to be in you.
That's right. Preach it, sister.
So
that's good.
You know, I got to go Wednesday, but it's like, you know, I try to be optimistic because I understand how urgent of a time that we live in today.
Right.
And those of you who are listening, you know, we do have it in the elementary schools, and they're crowded. But that middle school, and some of them attended the elementary program, same programs. Then they get over there, and I have two helpers, not just myself. But it's like your young people need to know. They need to know. They need to know. Because school isn't safe.
Well,
rape is going on in the school. Drugs are in the school. You know what I'm saying? Bullying is in the school. Mm-hmm. They're not safe.
That's right.
They're not safe. So I didn't mean to take all that time away from you.
That's very interesting. I mean, it's needful.
Yes, it's needful.
You know, we need to get that out.
Yes.
We need to get that
out. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Because we don't know who's around the next corner.
No.
Who's hiding in the school, in the gym. And, you know, we do not know.
We're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised the next minute.
No, we're not. No, we're not. Blink of an eye. You'll be gone. And it doesn't mean that Jesus has parted the sky and, you know, performed the rapture.
Right. You can imagine we're just done.
Because many of us will be gone before the rapture. Yep. You know. So... I just wanted to say that for those of you who are listening, Grant Middle School needs students in the after-school program on Wednesdays in the lunchroom. Yeah, they really do. So.
Not what time is that? Like from 3:30 to
2. 2:20.
Oh, it's from 2:20
to 3:30. Just an hour.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Just an hour before it gets dark and all that stuff. Right. So, and this weather right here, they can even walk home if they can't pick them up. So, I just felt that in my spirit when you were talking. You know, because tomorrow is not promised, and
no, it's not.
We got to fight. It's the only way we know to fight. And if you don't know that you need that to fight, then you need to know.
Right.
And how will they know unless a preacher is sent or a minister is sent?
Exactly.
You know. So that was in my devotion this morning. It was, you know. God set this all up.
He does. He absolutely
It's already
does.
Set up, been yep. set up before time even began, that he would use his people to minister to other people to get them to come.
Mm-hmm.
My Lord, you are perfect. He is so perfect, isn't he?
He is.
So perfect.
I think it's mind-boggling.
It is.
How he orchestrates things.
It is mind-boggling.
I mean, I can scratch and claw and kick and try to do things and put things in order. And if we just relax and say, Lord, what do you want?
Oh,
what would you have? And how many times is that the last thing we do sometimes? Because we think we have to control things.
I know.
And when we realize we can't, it's, oh, Lord, help. He says, I've been waiting on you to ask. You know?
Right now, I'm at peace right now. I may have done the wrong thing. I don't know. But I'm at peace.
You know, peace doesn't usually come when right after you do the wrong thing. There's usually a, you know.
Well, a little bit, but not really. Not a lot. Because I can go off on a tantrum. Ah, I did the wrong thing. But I have peace.
Yeah.
I have peace. Yeah, so.
Yeah, you look peaceful today. You look very pretty today.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
After I walk for 2 miles, huh?
I know, right? You
right
put me to
before
shame.
The show. No, 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 no. I needed it. I bought a cherry pie yesterday.
Oh, okay.
And some ice cream.
And then,
yeah,
what's on top of your ice cream?
That was it.
Oh, that was.
But
it.
It's chocolate and vanilla, a scoop of each, and then that. Oh my, that cherry pie.
I love cherry pie.
Do you?
Yes, I do.
I do too. I do too. I like apple too, but sometimes I get
That's
tired of it.
That's my two favorite ones.
Yeah,
apple and cherry.
Yeah. But I eat an apple every day, so I get tired of apples. I love them.
I don't get one every day, but
love them.
I have a bag on my counter right now. I had one this morning.
Well, we are out of time, Barb.
Okay.
I've enjoyed our time together.
It
was sweet.
I always do.
It was very sweet.
Yes.
Yes, it was.
Do.
Very sweet. And thank you for your gift, sharing it with our listeners, your gift of poetry. And we'll see you again. Definitely.
The only thing I hope with my gift of poetry is that it glorifies God.
It does. And helps people.
Yeah.
And helps people. And he gets all the glory.
Yes, he does.
For that. Because we need that uplifting, you know.
Yes.
We really need it. And that's what it does. It does. It hits you right in the core of your heart, you know.
That's good for me to hear.
Yeah, it does.
You know, because
yeah, it does.
You get used to what you do. You get used to your own stuff. Sometimes, it, like I said, if I read it later, I think, did I write that? You know.
Well, thank you for listening to A Voice of a People.
This is WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, your place for the latest news in politics. From Scott Spears at the 2016 Republican National Convention.
Good morning, we're on the air.
Hey, Charlie, it's Scott.
Scott! Oh, wow! Okay, we've been wanting to hear from you, Scott.
Well, I tell you this morning, I did something different. Yesterday.